We're turning, please, to the fifth book of the Bible, the book of Deuteronomy. In the book of Deuteronomy, God gives the law the second time to His people. Repeats those statutes that are to govern their lives, which are to hedge them in unto God and keep them from straying into the paths of wickedness. We're going to read from verse 1 through to the end of verse 9 of Deuteronomy chapter 21. If one be found slain in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it, lying in the field, and it be not known who hath slain him, then the elders and thy judges shall come forth, and they shall measure unto the cities which are round about him that is slain, and it shall be that the city which is next or nearest unto the slain man, even the elders of that city, shall take an heifer, which hath not been wrought with, and which hath not drawn in the yoke, totally unworked, a young heifer. And the elders of that city shall bring down the heifer into a rough valley, an unkept, unkempt wilderness type valley that has never been ploughed or anything of that nature, which is neither eared nor sown, and shall strike off the heifer's neck or break its neck there in the valley. And the priests, the sons of Levi, shall come near. For them the Lord thy God hath chosen to minister unto him and to bless in the name of the Lord. And by their word shall every controversy and every stroke be tried. And all the elders of that city that are next unto the slain man shall wash their hands over the heifer that is beheaded in the valley, and they shall answer and say, our hands have not shed this blood, neither have our eyes seen it. Be merciful, O Lord, unto thy people Israel, whom thou hast redeemed, and lay not innocent blood unto thy people of Israel's charge. And the blood shall be forgiven them. So shalt thou put away the guilt of innocent blood from among you, when thou shalt do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. Amen, and may God bless this reading from His precious Word. I want us tonight to look at all this passage, but particularly bear in mind the words that are found there in the verse 9. So shalt thou put away the guilt of innocent blood from among you, when thou shalt do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. Murder is the stock and trade of the devil. While life is the business of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it's important that we notice how that the devil serves a cause that is absolutely, diametrically opposed to the cause that the Lord Jesus Christ espouses. In the words of the Savior concerning the devil in John chapter 8 and the verse 44, very, very familiar words, speaking to wicked men who stood before him, he said, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. He is a liar and a murderer." And wherever you get murder, you get lies. Wherever you get murder, you get lies. On the other hand, the Lord Jesus Christ's purpose amongst men was stated by him in equally well-known words, "I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly." John chapter 10. The cause of murder is the cause of the devil. Psalm chapter 10, the 10th Psalm, is a psalm that is prophetic in its character. It speaks prophetically of the Antichrist. Psalm 10, "Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? The wicked." That's one of the titles of the Antichrist. 2 Thessalonians and the chapter 2. "Then shall that wicked be revealed." That's the Antichrist. And so very often where you see this phrase used, you will find that there is a prophetic application of it to the Antichrist. And certainly it is so here in Psalm 10. "The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. His ways are always grievous. Thy judgments are far above, out of his sight. As for all his enemies, he puffeth at them. He has said in his heart, I shall not be moved, for I shall never be in adversity. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud. Under his tongue is mischief and vanity. He sitteth in the lurking places of the villages. In the secret places doth he murder the innocent." Well, that's a pretty good description of the tactics of the IRA. The lurking places of this countryside have known their evil activities. For it was out of such lurking places that they launched their attack on innocent people and murdered them. So murder is the stock and trade of the devil and his agents. Whereas life and the giving of life is the work of the Lord Jesus. A nation's response to murder is a clear indication of the spiritual state of that nation. It is no coincidence that the United Kingdom abolished God's punishment for murder quite some years ago, as the nation began in a very clear fashion to depart from God and His law. When the churches became corrupt, embraced modernism, liberalism, and every false doctrine, and throughout the Bible, one of the things that went out was the punishing of murder by what God says it should be punished by. God teaches a life for a life. God says the man who sheds man's blood should have his blood shed. But in our country, we have seen that change. There's no such a sentence for the murderer. And I'm saying that you can gauge the spiritual state of a nation by looking at just how it reacts to murder. Now, it's clear from the passage that we have just read, this chapter 21 of Deuteronomy in the first 9 verses, that the Lord would have his people treat murder most seriously and most solemnly. Murder is a chief work of darkness. The very antithesis, the opposite, completely, of the law of God, which calls upon men to love their neighbor as themselves. The Lord Jesus, in Matthew chapter 19, when in conversation with a young man, he summarized the law of God. Matthew chapter 19. You know this passage very well. Verse 16 tells us, "Behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And the Lord Jesus said unto him in the verse 17, we'll cut to the end of the verse, "If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." And he saith, "Which?" Jesus said, "Thou shalt do no murder." That's the very first thing that he said. When summarizing the law, he started with murder. "Thou shalt do no murder." I think I am right in calling it the chief works, the chief work of sin and the chief work of darkness. That which springs from the evil heart of man. And it is the very opposite to the law of God. Here in this passage, God instructs his people that when a murder victim is found, the body, the corpse of a murder victim is found, and no culprit can be identified after an investigation. And there would have been an investigation. It doesn't go into any details of the investigation, but the very fact that the elders from the area in which this crime had taken place, when they said, "We know nothing about it," they could only say that after they had investigated the matter. So when witnesses were sought, when every possible avenue of information was explored, and there was just no way they could find who it was committed this crime, then God caused them to embark upon a prescribed path whereby a solemn and public disowning of all knowledge of this crime took place. It's worth our while to read verses 6 and 7 again. "And all the elders of that city that are next unto the slain man shall wash their hands over the heifer that is beheaded in the valley. And they shall answer and say, Our hands have not shed this blood, neither have our eyes seen it." We don't know anything about it. We don't know anything about it. What a lesson there is here. For this land, for this part of the United Kingdom, within which hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of such murders have taken place. Murders that have resulted in no one being brought to justice, but rather there has been a concealing, a deliberate campaign of concealing those who are guilty of these crimes. And that concealing, indeed I can say, the committing of the murders, as well as the concealing of the murders, are crimes committed by many who hold public office in this land. There are those guilty of murder holding office in this land. Murders for which they have never been tried. And murders about which many people have full knowledge. But they have chosen to say nothing about it. Sinn Féin IRA has the wicked distinction of being a party that has come to power through bloodshed and murder and terror. That's how it has become what it is. It is on the very edge of holding governmental power and authority, taking the office of government in this land. And it has gotten there as a result of murder. Murder. It's a murder machine. It is not a democratic party. It can never be a democratic party. Because before the rules of democracy can be exercised within that party and recognized by that party and submitted to by that party, they would have to first of all say, we're dismantling our party. Because it's built on murder. And then, everyone in that party guilty of murder would have to hand themselves over to the police for judgment. And everybody who has knowledge concerning murder and who has committed a crime by concealing that murder and become an accessory to murder would have to hand themselves over to the police. And I would say you wouldn't have much of a Sinn Féin party when all that had taken place. It can never conform to democracy. It can never conform to democracy. And if it enters government, then every righteous law of God is being violated. And any who help it to do that are acting contrary to God's law and most certainly acting contrary to the well-being of this country. Most certainly so. I want you to first of all notice that secret murder is a very ancient crime. God wrote a law about it into the constitution of Israel because God knew such things happened and they would happen in Israel. And so he had a law in force, which would require the people to act in a certain way in the face of secret murder. Apostasy, a departure from God's truth, has always filled the land with blood. Always. Ezekiel, a book in which the prophet is dealing with the great departure that had taken place and was continuing to take place within the ranks of Israel. Ezekiel chapter 7. Ezekiel chapter 7, verse 23. Make a chain, for the land is full of bloody crimes.
and the city is full of violence.
Wherefore I will bring the worst of the heathen, and they shall possess their houses. I will also make the pomp of the strong to cease, and their holy places shall be defiled. Destruction cometh, and they shall seek peace, and there shall be none. Mischief shall come upon mischief, and rumour shall be upon rumour. Then shall they seek a vision of the prophet, but the law shall perish from the priest, and the counsel from the ancients. The king shall mourn, and the princes, and the prince shall be clothed with desolation, and the hands of the people of the land shall be troubled. I will do unto them after their way, and according to their deserts will I judge them, for they shall know that I am the Lord. That's what happens when you depart from God. And departing from God brings murder upon the land, and His judgment follows that. His judgment follows that. Apostasy fills the land with blood. Fills the land with blood. What we need to learn in this country. Why has the country passed through the recent years? Why has there been the last 30, 40 years of terror? Because of apostasy. Because of apostasy. Murder flourishes in an age of apostasy. As disease breaks out in a body that is ill-nourished and starved and has been neglected and not cared for, as that body breaks out in all sorts of diseases and sores, so it is with a nation that throws away God's word and spiritually becomes unhealthy. Every form of spiritual disease will break out. Every form of immorality will break out in that nation. Chief amongst those ills will be that of murder. That of murder. Oh, I tell you, men and women, we need to recognize just what is taking place in this land and why it is that it has taken place at this time. Secret murder is no ancient crime. Is no new crime, rather. It is an ancient crime. It's been around a long time. And God writes into His law what should be done about it. I want you also to notice that secret sins will be found out by God. The murderer may do his best to conceal his identity. But God will find him out. Here we have in Deuteronomy 21 just the corpse found, the victim found. And at first, perhaps we might be inclined to think that nobody did ever find the culprit. But I want to tell you that the culprit will be found. For God will find them out. God will find them out. God will uncover them. The Lord would have us share His attitude toward murder. And part of God's attitude toward murder is this: murderers will be found. God has no doubts about that. And He would have you have no doubts about it either. We have heard many people say, when there has been a challenging of the wicked crimes of the IRA, oh, all that's in the past. No, it's not. Not as far as God's concerned. It's not past. It is ever present before God's eyes, and He will find it out. When Cain murdered Abel, the record is given us in Genesis chapter 4, God said to Cain the murderer, the first murderer among men, "The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." Abel's voice was gone. He would speak no more. He was dead. But the voice of his blood, cruelly, murderously spilled by Cain, cried unto God. And it cried for judgment. Men and women, we may have become so dull of hearing in this country, we don't hear the blood that has stained this land crying, but God hears it. God hears it. And it cries loudly unto him. There's a day coming God will deal with that. If he doesn't deal with it in time, and it's true, sometimes it doesn't get dealt with here on this earth. There are murderers who commit their crimes and die without ever being detected. They haven't escaped judgment, but we read of the coming of Christ in Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26, it's the verse 21 of that chapter I want you to look at. And it's about the coming of the Lord Jesus. The coming again of the Savior. Isaiah chapter 26. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. The murder victim will be avenged when Jesus comes again. God has kept in his mind for a long time, hasn't he, all the murders that have taken place. He hasn't forgotten one of them. And one of the first things Jesus is going to do when he comes again is deal with the murderer. Deal with the murderer. In 2 Thessalonians, the chapter 1, Paul writes there of the coming of Christ and the purpose of that coming. 1 Thessalonians, the chapter 1. And we're looking at the verse 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and the verse 7 rather. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and the verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, taking in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Now God wants us to share his view of murder. God wants us to have ears that hear the cry of the blood of murder victims and never become deaf to them. Never become deaf to them. God wanted a proper search for the murderer to take place. And that would have taken place in the land. God would have every stone turned in order to find the culprit, that there might be no concealing, no concealing of the blood of this murder victim. Now, this has not been the case in this land. There have been political reasons why some murders were not properly investigated. Some time ago it was disclosed that police forensic experts have been able to identify fingerprints on some items recovered from a bomb scene in which two victims were murdered. And by the modern methods, that they have now at their disposal, they were able to identify those fingerprints, even though back when the incident took place, science was not able to help them identify the fingerprints. And the newspaper reported that the fingerprints belonged to Jerry Adams. They were his. But that's as far as it goes. There's a concealing of the murder. There's an official clamp goes down on any further proceeding. Our prime ministers that have held office in the United Kingdom over the last 30 years have all made decisions, I have no doubt about this, have all made decisions that certain avenues of inquiry regarding terrorist crime would not be pursued because it wouldn't help the particular political purposes that they had in mind. Top policemen have been ready to comply with these law, these commands and these orders that have come down from the top. And thereby they have become guilty, along with the government officials, of the crimes that have been committed by those whom they know. Those whom they know. God hears the cry, even though there's an attempt made by high officials to conceal, to cover, to stifle the cry of the innocent victim. Let me say something else. Such murders as those that we're referring to here in Ulster defile the land in God's eyes. Defiles the land and defiles all who live in it. That's you and that's me. It defiles us all. These elders were commanded to go out as representatives of the nearest city and stand before God and plead with God that they be not held guilty. Now, how could they be held guilty if they weren't contaminated? You see, they were contaminated. They were contaminated. They were defiled. And God required them to go through this particular rite in order that they might be cleansed and pardoned from the crime that had been committed. I tell you, there's guilt upon this land of Ulster. There's guilt upon it. And if we haven't taken appropriate steps, then the guilt will rest on us. It will rest on us. Verse 8, be merciful, O Lord, unto thy people Israel, whom thou hast redeemed, and lay not innocent blood upon the people of Israel's charge, or unto thy people of Israel's charge. Don't lay it against them. Don't charge them with a crime. Don't hold them guilty. That's what the prayer was about. Clearly, it can be seen then that if there is not this spirit of crying unto God, and if there is not the spiritual equivalent of this ritual carried out, then we're going to be held guilty before God. Now, there are plenty of loyalists, and there are plenty of Republicans in Ulster who have committed murder and have been aided in the concealment of those many murderers by their supporters and by the government. And that defilement, that guilt is upon those people. Because they know who has done it.
and they have become guilty with them.
Now, Sinn Féin is still of this mind. Sinn Féin, despite its so-called pledge of support for the processes of law and the police force, is still of a mind that makes them guilty before God of murder. They haven't disclosed the murders about which they have full understanding. They haven't handed over the murderers within their ranks. And personally, I believe that that would mean McGuinness marching at the front. And Adams too. To hand themselves over and to own their guilt. But they haven't been doing that. In fact, there have been representatives, including the MP for this area, who has indicated very clearly on live radio that if she saw men involved in what was obviously a political crime, she wouldn't inform the police. She wouldn't inform the police. So Sinn Féin is still of a mind to conceal murder. Therefore, the blood of the slain in this land, in which they were a party, is very much still upon them. You know, there have been Roman Catholic priests who have been aware of the murderers of some of their own people. Not too long ago, I printed in the Burning Bush an article taken from other sources in the media, in which the family of one of those murdered by the IRA and shot as a spy or as someone who had given information to the security forces, they had been informed that a priest had given the last rites to their loved one before that loved one was shot, and that this was common practice. Now, the priest knew, I am now administering this rite of the Church of Rome. It's a foolish, nonsensical thing, but that's by the by. I am administering this rite of the Church to a person who's about to be murdered. And they never reported it. They never said a word. But I want to tell you, the blood of that victim is not only on the man who pulled the trigger, it's also on the priest, according to this, the Book of God. Oh, I tell you, the blood stain spreads far. It spreads far. It spreads to every inhabitant in the land who does not take that action that God requires should be taken in order to distance yourself from the murder and be free of the guilt of this dreadful crime. The guilt will bring God's judgment upon each one. The prayer that I read out to you in verse 8 indicates very clearly that these elders realized that unless God forgive this crime to the people Israel, who knew nothing about it, then judgment would fall on those people. The guilt of this innocent blood would fall upon the people and judgment would follow. That's what is being argued here. That's why there was the necessity of a ritual. As our text says, so shalt thou put away the guilt of innocent blood from among you. But I didn't murder him. Yes, but you'll be held guilty of his murder if you don't act in this fashion and disown it. That's the point that I want to make. That's the point I want to get across to you tonight. God says, I'll hold you guilty if you don't disown this murder, no matter whether or not you had anything to do with it. It's an important truth, my friend. It's an important truth as Thursday's election day comes around. And it's one that should follow you into the polling booth and help you decide where you're going to cast your vote. It is the duty of the elders. The duty of the elders, the leaders of the people, to disown such murder. That's what this passage is all about. It's all about God getting the rulers of the people to act on behalf of the people and disown the murder and openly say we had nothing to do with it and we are opposed to it and don't think it to be right. Forgive us, Lord, and don't hold us to be guilty. Pardon us. That was the duty of the elders. That's an important thing for you to notice. That was the duty of the elders. The elders were to lead the people in a public disavowal of the crime. That's what they were to do. God says, verse 3, "And it shall be that the city which is next unto the slain man, even the elders of that city shall take an heifer, which hath not been wrought with, and which hath not drawn in the yoke. And the elders of that city shall bring down the heifer unto a rough valley, which is neither eared nor sown, and shall strike off the heifer's neck there in the valley. And then the priests shall come, the Levites." Verse 6, "And all the elders of that city that are next unto the slain man shall wash their hands over the heifer that is beheaded in the valley, and they shall answer and say, our hands have not shed this blood, neither have our eyes seen it." We know nothing about it, in other words. We have no information or knowledge of it. "Be merciful, O Lord, unto thy people Israel, whom thou hast redeemed, and lay not the innocent blood unto thy people of Israel's charge. And the blood shall be forgiven them if they do this." This is what the elders had to do. I have to say this. The Democratic Unionist Party is going to do the very opposite. They're going to do the very opposite. They're going to join hands in government. For that's plain. That's plain. I understand there was an advert in the paper yesterday calling on Unionist voters to come out in strength and vote for the Democratic Unions in order that they might get the office of First Minister. That's where they're going. That's what they're seeking. And they're going to join hands with the murderers. God says, "I want the elders to go out and wash their hands and say, we know nothing about this. We disown it entirely." I can say nothing else other than the Democratic Unionist Party is going to wash its hands in the blood. That's why I have cried out to the best of my ability against the plan that has been launched and has been promoted this last few months. Cried out feebly, yes. But nevertheless, we've done our best to warn of where this is going. Here's where it's going, men and women. Here's where it's going. Mr. Robison, deputy leader of the Democratic Unionist Party, said that if they go into government with Sinn Féin, it'll be a battle every day. Now, I have no doubt that was meant to impress their supporters and show how faithful they were going to be in their opposition to Sinn Féin. They're going to fight them every day. But I would ask you to think about this. I would ask you to think, first of all, can this be good political judgment to form a government, the members of which are going to fight every day? Is that going to be good government? I'll tell you this, if I stepped onto a plane heading for the United States and the co-pilot was knocking 6 bells out of the pilot and all the stewardesses were pulling the hair out of each other, I'd turn on my heel and go somewhere else for a flight. Oh, yes, I would, my friend. It's being gloried in. But it's nonsense, I tell you. How can government function under such circumstances? What good will come to any country led by such a disorganized, disorderly, and riotous government? I ask you. There must be some other reason that's binding them together. They don't agree at all. So what is it that's bringing them together? Why have they been driven to form a government if they can't agree with each other? Who has ever heard of two political parties coming together to form a coalition and every day they're going to fight about every matter that they will face? That's not the way it's done in politics. So there must be another reason. And I would suggest the reason is they just want into office. They just want into office. You know, this is not of God. I preached some time ago about the government of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mentioned how that when he takes over the government, men will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks, and they will learn war no more. That's the government of the Lord Jesus. The government that we are called upon to give our support to is a government that's going to have a battle every day, and they're glorying in it. The very opposite. It's the devil that causes disorder. When the Savior went to the land of Gadara, he met a man full of the devil. And he was a madman. They couldn't tame him. They couldn't get him to act in a proper fashion, in a decent fashion. They chained him. He broke the chains. He went about howling and crying, demented. Then Jesus saved him. Cast out the demons, ruled in the man's heart, and we read about him sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. That's what Jesus does when he comes. Any government that promises that it will have a battle among its members every day hasn't been established by God. I'm telling you that. It hasn't been established by God. And that which hasn't been established by God should not be supported. These men, these elders, were to disown the murderer and disown the murderer before God. And that would be most pleasing to the Lord. These men were to show horror. They washed their hands. They washed their hands. David said, I have washed my hands in innocency. Doubtless, he was thinking of that. Pilate, deceitfully, hypocritically, tried the same business. He tried to wash his hands of the blood of Jesus. Of course, he was guilty. And there might be many a voice raised today to speak of the horror of the IRA's activities. But I doubt there's a lot of hand washing that's only of the value of pilots. It doesn't amount to anything. Here's the only hand washing that will count with God. They had to offer a sacrifice, you notice. A young heifer. Undefiled by work or labor or toil. And that heifer had to be brought out to a desolate place. Outside the camp. A wilderness. Just like the Savior. And over that sacrifice they had to wash their hands. It speaks to us of the cross. Do you remember what happened at the cross? Jesus Christ became sin for us. Those men treated that heifer as if she was the one that had committed the murder. That's what was taking place. This was a showing to God what they thought of the murder and the murderer. They killed the heifer. And over her they washed their hands. At the cross, Jesus became sin for us. And when Jesus was sin in our place, his Father disowned him. That's why the Savior cried out on the cross, just to let us know that this had taken place. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? God forsook his Son on the cross because his Son had become sin for us. And that's the attitude we should have toward the murders that have taken place in this land. We shouldn't embrace into the office of government those who have committed those murders, but we should wash our hands of them entirely. And have nothing whatsoever to do with them. Jude, the last but one book of the Bible, in the verse 23. Says this. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. That tells you how you should feel towards sin. Yes, do all you can to see sinners redeemed, but hate the garment spotted by the flesh. It's like the leper of old. Oh, love the leper. But be very careful that you're not contaminated when you touch his clothes. Make sure you don't touch them with your flesh. Hate the garment. Spot it. And we should have a hatred of the crimes of the IRA. We should have a hatred of those crimes and a determination not to be contaminated by them. But disown them and be cleansed of any guilt. Only after such a disowning of the murder by the elders of the city was the guilt put away from the people of the land. Only when they did this and disowned the sin and washed their hands was the guilt of that murder lifted off the people. And I'm telling you, if we haven't disowned the murderer, the guilt of God's on us. Now, I'm thankful the Free Church has, generally speaking. It has campaigned against the murder, has spoken against the murder. And we have distanced ourselves from them. But I fear what is about to happen is going to be an undoing of all that. Let me just read some passages very quickly to you, please. Numbers, one book back from where we are. Numbers, the chapter 16. And the verse 21. Here's rebellion in the camp of Israel. Rebellion. Rebellion against Moses.
by Dathan and Abiram, and by Korah. And in verse 21, the Lord spoke through Moses and said unto all the people, separate yourselves from among this congregation that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation? And the Lord said unto Moses, speak unto the congregation, saying, get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. And Moses rose up, and went on to Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him, and he spake unto the congregation, saying, depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest thou be consumed in their sins. Now you read on down, and you'll find that God judged those men and anybody near them. Now what's happening, I tell you, with the political plans that are afoot, is not a calling on the people to get away from the murderers, but to join with them in government. We're going to bring God's judgment on Ulster if we heed this call. We're going to bring God's judgment on Ulster. Read right down there to the end of the chapter virtually. And see what happens to those men. And see in it what will happen to us if we associate ourselves with those who are in rebellion against God. Revelation chapter 18 and the verse 4. Come out from among her, my people, lest ye be partaker of her plagues. My people, get out, or you'll be judged. As if you were a Babylonian. Get out. Lot in Sodom. Get out. Or you'll suffer the fate. Put distance between you and the guilty. We can't enter coalition. We cannot support the entering of coalition with the IRA without becoming guilty with them. I don't care if we have a battle every day. You're still contaminated with the guilt. And I want to say to every candidate who's standing for the Democratic Unionist Party, I want to say to every one of them, from Dr. Paisley down, and I want to say to every person who is campaigning for them and working for them, and I want to say to everyone who plans to vote for them, you are doing wrong. And you're doing the very opposite to that which is required of us in Deuteronomy chapter 21. Instead of distancing ourselves from the murderer, we're going into a working arrangement with them. And that's wrong. By so doing, we are advertising to the whole world that these men who have built their careers on murder are acceptable as governmental material. That's not God's thinking. That's not God's thinking. I am praying God will blow on this whole scheme, men and women. Not out of political ambition, but out of the fear of God. For I see great danger in the path that is being followed. The greatest danger this country can ever embrace. For we are going to put forth our hand and join hand in hand with that which has the curse of God upon it. May God cause this word to have some impact, some influence in this land of ours.
to the glory of His name. Let us bow in prayer.
Father, please have mercy. If this indeed, O God, is what will be the result of the path that men have called upon the people of the land to follow, then, Lord, please awaken the people, and may they not follow such a path. Please. More than that, awaken those who are issuing this call and make them to realize, Lord, where it is they are leading the people. Oh, may there be an obeying of the spirit of this chapter, this portion. And may we, as never before, disown the murder and the murderers that have defiled this land. God, save our province from the guilt of murder. O God, may there be a detesting, a hating of the garment that is spotted by the flesh. May there be a withdrawing from the tents of Korah, of Dathan and Abiram. And may there be a separating unto the Lord around His precious word. Thou knowest the desire of our heart. We can't even express it, Lord. But, O God, we pray that You would intervene to the glory of Your name. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. And amen.